Begin the current daf, Masechet Chulin daf Hey. Begin 11 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had opened up this Masechet, this parak, what I call Sheikhtin, Ushchitasa, and Kshera, which we had a few different interpretations. What does that terminology come to say? Is it like a Tchilah? Is it B'dieved? One of the interpretations was that of Ravashi, which explained how Kol Sheikhtin comes to include a Mumer that's Oichel Nevelis Liti Oven, who he could slaughter like a Tchilah. And then there's a different case that it discusses regarding when there would be Mutter only B'dieved. Now, his halacha is based on the teaching of Rava, which Rava's teaching, the Gemara discussed in the previous daf, that if someone is a mumer, he's a considered renegade Jew regarding eating non-kosher, but if he would find an opportunity to do it in a permitted way, he definitely would not give that up, and therefore, you could rely on his slaughtering. Now, the Gemara had introduced a brisa that seemingly was going to prove when it says Yisrael mumer that it means that case of Rava, and that the Gemara rejected and says, no, it could be referring to Rav Anan Amar Shmuel's halacha, that Yisrael that's a mumer labitz kechavim is mutalecha mishchitasa. That although he's considered a renegade for idolatry, which is pretty severe, equal to the whole entire Torah, you would think he's not believed in regards to any area of law. And we say that, no, you could still rely on the slaughtering and it's going to be kosher. On that halacha of Rav Anan Amar Shmuel says, the Gemara le misayeli. Let's say that the following halacha should support Rav Anan. Because the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, it says, "V'ha'irvim meviim loy lechem ubaser ba'beiker, v'lechem abaser uva'baser be'erv." That the irvim, which we're going to explain shortly what that means, they brought to Eliyahu Hanavi, who was in hiding, bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Now, v'amar Behuda Merav, he says, where did these irvim get this meat from? Mi beitavchi da'achav, from the butcher house of Achav. So we see that although, as we mentioned in previous stuff, Achav was considered a mumer la'ibdei kechavim, he was considered a renegade Jew regarding idolatry, still you see that his food was considered kosher, and that's why the Arvim were able to bring the meat from the house of Achav, which is like Rav Anan Amar Shmuel's halacha, that although he's a mumer la'ibdei kechavim, we're still going to be able to eat from his slaughtering. So as the Gemara, no, it's not a ra, it's not a proof, because al pi ha'dibur shani, when something happens through the word of Hashem, then it's different, because here HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted, although we could say that it's actually forbidden that slaughtering, Hashem had a one-time dispensation that he permitted for Eliyahu Navi, as the pasuk says, "Vesa Irvim Tzivisi Sham LeKalkalecha." Hashem told Eliyahu Navi that I commanded the Irvim to give you food, and therefore, although we could say generally that it's actually forbidden, here it was a one-time permissibility. Now the Gemara says, "My Irvim, what are these Irvim who brought the food to Eliyahu Navi?" So Amar Avin, he says, "Irvim Mamash," means literally ravens, which are called an Irv. Now, however, Amalei Rav Adar Bar Minyumi, he asked, but Vidima Tre Gavri Dehava Shemayu Irvim. Maybe it was actually two people who their name was Irvim. Me like Siv, doesn't it say a pasuk in Shaiftim, but Yahargu es Irv, that they killed Irv, we see it's the name of a person, Bitsur Irv in this place, Tur Irv, Vezei, Vagaimer, etc. So you see that a person's name could be Irv. Maybe this was Irvim, two Irvs, two people with the name Irv. So Amalei, so Ravina responded to him, he says, Visrami Milsi, you think it's with such an occurrence, did Tarvayu have a Shemayu Irvim, that both of them had the same uncommon name of Irvim? So there was not logical to say that it was people with that name, but rather it was ravens that brought the food to Eliyahu. But the Gemara asked, but Vidilma Ashemu Kaimim, you're right, it's not logical to say that that was their name, but maybe it was from the place where they came from, like we just brought in the previous pasuk, Tzur Irv, maybe when it says the Irvim came, it was because of the place that they come from, but it's two people, not ravens. Because me like Siv, don't we find the pasuk Melachim Beis, that we find that a person is called based on his place, even if it's actually an individual, even though we're not talking about all the people of that place, like Plishtim, Gevinim, which are the names of people based on the place that they come from, we find even when we're discussing individuals, as the pasuk is going to bring Na'ara Ketana, we could call them after the place. The pasuk says, Va'aram Yatsa Gedudim, that Aram, the enemy of the Jewish people, went out armed, v'yishbu me'eretz Yisrael, and they took a captive from Eretz Yisrael, Na'ara Ketana. Now, Nara generally means to say a girl that has reached the age of puberty, that she has two sires, and Ketana is when she's younger than that, she's a minor. Now, v'kashlan, so we had a difficulty. Karla Nara, on the one hand, they're calling her a Nara, which sounds like she brought two pubic years, v'katarla Ketana, yet we're calling her a minor, it sounds like she didn't bring two sires. So V'amr Pedas, he explained, this that we're calling her a Nara, wasn't because she was a Nara, rather it's because of the name of the place. Ketana de min Na'iran, she was a minor from this place, Na'iran. So you see that we could call someone based on the name of the place, so to over here. Even though it wasn't referring to all the people of this place of Irv, because most definitely Eliyahu Navi did not reveal his hiding place to all the people of that place because he had to hide. But we could say that maybe it was two individuals who were called based on the name of their place of Eirev, and it doesn't mention their actual name. So how do you know it's referring to ravens? Maybe it means the name of a place. And that answers the Gemara, no, because in Cain, if that would be the case, Arviyim Mibayle. Shouldn't say Arvim. It should have said Arviyim, the people of Eirev. Because although Arvim could mean that too, but if it meant people, it should say it Arviyim so that we shouldn't confuse it and think that it literally means ravens. And the fact that it said Arvim, it means ravens, because it didn't say Arviyim. So it's Gemara Le Misayele, now that we said in the previous pasuk, it's not a support for Ravanan, because we said that could be Alpiyad Dibur Shani. So the Gemara says, let's bring a different proof to Ravanan from the following Braisa. And this is the Braisa we brought in the previous staff, when we attempted to bring a right to Rava, and we rejected it, said no, it could be Ravanan. Now the Gemara does that same thing in the reverse. The Braisa says, Hakol Sheikh, then everyone could slaughter. Vafila Kuti, even the Kuti, Vafila Aral, even the uncircumcised Jew, Vafila Yisrael Mumr, even the renegade Jew. Now, Hai Aral Hechadami. What does this mean when it says an uncircumcised Jew? If it's a Jew who wants to be a sheikh of the slaughter, who he didn't circumcise because his brothers died because of circumcision, so Hai Yisrael Malyu, he's a bona fide Jew because he's an honest, it's beyond his control. He would like it, but he can't because it's danger to his life. Of course he could slaughter. Elipshita mumalarelis. Rather, obviously it's talking about a case when the reason why he's not circumcised is because he's a renegade regarding that. He's defiant and he doesn't want to do circumcision, although he keeps the rest of the Torah. And still we're saying he could slaughter. But Ema Seifa, look at the next case. It says, Vafili Yisrael Mumr, even the renegade Jew, he could slaughter. Now, Heichadam, what's the case Toma? Im Mumr L'davar Echad, if it's a renegade for one of the Tariq mitzvahs in the Torah, and we're saying that he could slaughter because Mumr L'davar Echad is not a Mumr L'chal Tariq Kula, does not make him a renegade regarding all the other laws of the Torah, well then, Hayne Mumr L'arelis. That's the same as the other case of being rebellious in one halacha, that of circumcision. Here it's the same thing, whatever the other halacha is. It's just telling you Mumr L'davar Echad is not Mumr L'chal Tariq Kula. Elalav, rather, isn't it talking about that Mumr Lavitz Kechavim? It's saying, what do we mean when he's a renegade? What one mitzvah? That of idolatry, which is very severe. And still it's teaching that it could slaughter or could Ravanan, which is like Ravanan's halacha. So the Gemara says, no, lo'il memlach Mumr Lavitz Kechavim lay. Truthfully, I would tell you, if someone's a renegade for idolatry, then actually he's not going to be able to slaughter. Because the Amamar, like the Master says elsewhere, Chamur Avodas Kechavim, the idolatry, although it's just one of the halachas of the Torah, one of the many mitzvahs, it's very severe. Shekala Koifer Bo, because whoever denies idolatry, Kamayid B'chal Torah Kula, it's like he's admitting to the whole entire Torah. Because like the Pasuk says in Midbar Tesvav, it says that if someone's going to err, and he's not going to do one of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, what it says, Kol HaMitzvah Se'ela, the Gemara in Harias Daf Chesem and Av says that pasuk is referring to idolatry, and it's calling it Kol HaMitzvah Se'ela. It's the equivalent of the whole entire Torah. So I would tell you, if someone's a mumma for idolatry, he actually is mumma l'chal Torah Kula, and we cannot have him slaughter. Ella, rather, what does it mean when we're talking about Yisrael Mumr? It's mumma l'aisa davar. The chiddush in that is, it's not that he's just a renegade for one of the many halachas of the Torah. He's a renegade for that thing itself that you wanted to go ahead and trust him, for slaughtering itself. When he has a desire, he'll eat non-kosher. And that's where I have to tell you, don't say, as the Gemara had said this logic in the previous staff, oh, that once he's gone and violated this halacha many times, he actually views it as a heter. No, he still views it as a prohibited thing. And therefore, only when he has overcome a desire will he violate it. But when you give him an opportunity of a kosher knife to slaughter, he's not going to leave alone something of permitted to slaughter it appropriately and eat something that's forbidden, ukedirava, like the halacha of Rava in the previous daf. In other words, this brice is inconclusive. It cannot be used to prove either one of their halachas. Now, the Gemara actually now says mesve. Now, instead of supporting the teaching of Ravan, the Gemara comes to refute it from the following brice. The Braisa brings a pasuk in Vayikra that starts off Adam ki Yaakov, a man that will sacrifice mikem, from you, a carbon, which this pasuk is referring to neder or nadava, when a person vows or donates a carbon, because it says ki Yikrav, which sounds like when he wants to. It's not an obligatory carbon, but when he wants to bring a carbon from you, so then he does what the pasuk mentions over there, what type of carbon is to bring. Now, from the fact that it says mikem, from you, that's an exclusionary terminology, which tells you, but v'loy kulcham, but not all of you, not every Jew could bring a carbon. L'haitzi yasa mumr, that's excluding a renegade Jew, that we don't accept his carbon adava, a donated carbon to bring to the base of Mikdash. Moreover, from the word mikem, sounds like from you, who's you? The Jewish people. Bechem chalakti, in you I differentiated. In other words, from the fact that it says this exclusionary terminology by the Jewish people and not by the nations of the world, because it says, ish mi beis Yisrael ha-shayikar v'karbon l'chol nedrechem, by the parasha of Mumen in Be'ikach of Beis, Now, it says later on the parak of Yigimla Mabez, it says ish. So the Gemara there says, why say ish? Why say two times? Comes to include Avdi Kechavim, non-Jews, that they could also make a Ned and a Dava for Karbanis, like a Jewish person to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, over there it doesn't say an exclusionary terminology, because if it did, it would have said Min Ha'adam Ki Yakriv Karban, which we would have understood to say, oh, but not Kol Adam. Obviously, from the fact that it only says it over here, when it talks about the Jewish people, Mikem, I'm saying, but you, I differentiated that only upstanding Jews could bring a Karban Adava and not a renegade. But V'lei B'umais, but that differentiation does not apply to the nations of the world. There, no matter what status he is, he could bring an Adava and we accept it from him. Now, additionally, the Pasuk continues and says that he's going to bring Min HaBehema from the animals. What does that come to tell us? Lehevi b'nei Adam shudayim lebehema. This comes to include people that are comparable to animals, meaning that they don't fulfill the mitzvahs. Now that's regarding the terminology of behema. This that it says is actually min habehema, which sounds like that we're excluding, that excludes a reveya v'nirva, an animal that was sodomized, or that sodomized, as the Gemara explains this in Baba Kama, Bechairis, and the Temura. Now, one thing that we're saying that we're including, even if the person who's bringing it is like a behema, Mikan Amr, from here they said, Mikablin Karbanis, mi Peshe Yisrael, we could accept Karbanis that are being brought from the sins of the Jewish people. Now the word Peshe sounds like that they sin deliberately. As the Gemara says in Yuma Devil Mevav Menalef, Peshaim is Maradim, those who are rebellious against Hashem. Like it says, Melech Moiv Pashami, which is really a Mummer. So that the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that seems to contradict what we just said before. We said we're excluding a Mummer from bringing, yet here we're saying that we include from the word Behema to include a Mummer. Now, why do we accept karbanis from the Peshe Yisrael? So that they should ultimately return and repent from their wicked ways. Now, continues the Braisa. Chutz min ha-mumer. So although we accept karbanis from the sins of the Jewish people, which sounds like we're including a mumer, however, the exception is from the mumer. We don't accept karbanis from a renegade Jew. And Manasseh Chesayayin, and from a Jew who pours wine libations to idolatry. U'machal Shabbos v'fahese, or whoever desecrates the Shabbos out in the public in the open. The Gemara discusses the Braisa and says, Hagufa Kasha is an internal contradiction in the Braisa. Amrit, you open up by saying, Mikem v'le kulcham. Person that's going to bring a carbon from you, which is, but not all of you, the Jewish people. That's lohitzi esamur, that excludes the renegade, that we don't accept this carbon. V'hadetani, but then the Braisa continued and said, from the word behemo, mekablin karbanis mipesh yisrael, that we do accept karbanis from the deliberate sins of the Jewish people, which is a renegade. So do we accept or do we not? Says the Gemara, Hala Kasha, that's not difficulty. Reisha is mumr l'chala terakula. This that we said that we do not accept karbanis from a mumr because it's excluded from Ikem, is referring to a renegade that in the whole Torah he doesn't keep. Mitziyasa, but the middle case that said that from behema that we do accept, is mumr l'davar echad, is when he's a renegade just to one of the many halachas of the Torah, then we do accept his karbanis. But that has to be more emesefer. Look at the last case. It says, chutz min ha-mumr, except from a renegade, that we do not accept his karbanis. And Manasseh Chazayin, and someone who pours wine libations for idolatry, Umachal Shabbos Befehese, and whoever desecrates the Shabbos out in the open. Now, Haimu Mehechadami, this last case of the renegade, what's the case to that we do not accept his karbanas? Imu Melechal Terakula, if he's a renegade to the whole Torah, Zahani Resha, we already mentioned that from Mikem. We already said that in the beginning of the Braisa. And the Imam al-Dabachar, and if it's a renegade to only one of the many halachas of the Torah, then Kasha Mitziyasa, that contradicts the middle case, which says that we do accept, on the safe, which says we do not accept. So Elalav Hachikama, rather, says the Gemara, isn't this what the Braisa is saying? When it says that we accept the karbanis from the Peshi Yisrael, which is a mummer, it's when he's a mummer l'davar echad. But when do we not, like we said in the beginning of the Braisa, when he's a mummer l'chal terakula. Now, so what does the end of the Braisa mean when it says, chutz min ha-mummer? It's not its own case, it's connected to the next two cases. Chutz min ha-mummer l'nasseh chesayayin u'l'chal shabbasit b'fehesya. Except for a renegade, who's a renegade to either idolatry or chil Shabbos, which those are severe, that type of mummer, even though it's one halacha, will be like the mummer l'chal terakula, that we do not accept this karbanis. Alma says the Gemara, so we see, mummer l'avitz kechavim, if someone's a renegade to idolatry, have a mummer l'chal terakula. He's considered a renegade to the entire of the Torah. Now moreover, this Tana also holds that the laws of Shabbos are as severe as idolatry, and therefore chil Shabbos b'vehes is also included in that category, because when one does idolatry, then he's denying in God, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's the one God. Moreover, someone who's Mechal Shabbos denies the actions of God, because he's testifying falsely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world and rest on the seventh day, and therefore tell us that we also have to do the same. But one thing we see is with the Ravanan, that Rafid Ravanan, who he said that if someone's a mumur lavoides kechavim, that he's not a mumur lachal terakula, and we could let him slaughter. And here we see clearly in the brisa that no, if he's a mumur lavoides kechavim, because that's the only way to interpret the brisa, that he is a mumur lachal terakula and that he cannot slaughter. So therefore, v'tiyuvta Ravanan. Says the Gemara, "Tiyuvta, yeah, that is a refutation of his halacha. And rather, if someone's a mumur lavoides kechavim and v'chil shabbos befehesya, he is going to be a mumur lachal terakula, and we do not let him slaughter." Now, once we introduce the brisa, the Gemara asks, "V'hama hacha nafke? Is it really from here? Is this brisa just taught from their sources that they brought that we do not accept a carbon from a mumer, like it says mikem? But mahasam nafke, we actually learn that from a different source." As the Gemara continues, Talmud Beis says in the brisa, the pasuk says in the yikra, different pasuk says mi'am ha'aretz, that if someone's going to sin by mistake from the people of the land, which sounds like from, again, the mem is exclusionary terminology, but not all the people. Now, this is a pasuk by a karmachatas. When someone sins erroneously, he brings a karmachatas, says the Tanakhama, prat lamumer. That excludes the renegade that we don't accept the karma from him. Now, Reb Shimon ben Yaisi, I mean, Reb Shimon, he says earlier pasuk, when it talks about the Asham of the Nasi, of the leader of the Jewish people, when he sins by mistake, he says, you learn that from this pasuk. It says, Asher lo yisei asena, if he does something which should not have been done, and he does the bishkoga by mistake, ba'ashem, and now he's guilty. It says near there, or if he was notified that he had sinned, then he has to bring his carbon, which sounds like only something which, like our pasuk says, which should not be done, and as that other pasuk says, when he's notified, oh, then he has to bring his carbon nashim, which sounds like he only did something that shouldn't be done, that had he known that it was forbidden, he would not have done. It's just that it was erroneous, it was by mistake, and he sinned, and he's guilty. That's when he brings the carbon. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, what the pasuk is telling us is, Hashav midiyasai. So Rashi actually brings a girsa, Hayyashim midiyasai. If he sits when he's aware, meaning had he known that it was chayil, that it was forbidden fats, he would have sat and not done that sin. Or he brings like our girsa and our gemara of Hashav, which he says the same thing, that if someone comes back from his awareness, meaning he would separate himself in the beginning, and he would not have violated had he known that it was Asr, then maybe carbon Asher Gagasi. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. That's when he brings the carbon when he does it by mistake. But Einashav Midiyasa, but if he would have been aware, he would not have held himself back. Then, even though now he did it by mistake, and he maybe carbon Asher Gagasi, he doesn't bring a carbon Chatas when he does it by mistake. Now, Vamrinim, we had said, my Bainayu, what's the difference between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon? Either way, according to either one of them, a mummer, we don't accept his carbon, according to either opinion. Even if he does it by mistake, because had he known about it in the beginning, still he would have eaten it, so he's not Shav Midiyasa. So either way you look at it, like the Tanakama who says he's called a mummer, or according to Reb Shimon, either way, it's both excluding a mummer. And Vamra Vamnun, he said, Mumr lechel chaleb. The difference between them would be if, let's say, someone's a renegade to eat forbidden fats. Vehevi carbon al adam, but he wants to bring a carbon for by mistake he had eaten blood. But had he known that it was blood, he would not have eaten it because he's only a mumr to eat forbidden fats. That's ikibinai. That's the difference between the two of them. According to Tanakama, he's still called a mumr because in one area of halacha he's a renegade, so we would not accept the carbon from him. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, he would still be considered shav bidiyasai, because had he been aware that it was blood, he would not have eaten it, and therefore, according to him, you would accept the carbon from him in that situation. But one thing the Gemara wants to ask is that you see that these are the sources for excluding a mummer. How could it be like we brought in on Amen Alf and the Brisa that we learned that from a different pasuk of Mikem? Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. There's two different sources because Chad the Bechatas. One source to exclude a mummer, like this Brisa that we're bringing on this Amid, it refers to a carbon Chatas. Bechad the Be'ayla. And one, the previous brisa on Amud Aleph, that it says, we know it from Mikem and not Kulchem, that's talking about, that pasuk is by an Eilas Nedava. As it says afterwards, Im Eilu Karbanai, so we need it for an Eilu. Utrich, like the Gemara says, we actually need two sources, Exkuda Mumer, one for Chatas, one for Eilu. Because Diash Min Chatas, had we only brought a source, this brisa, last one that we brought, that excludes a Mumer from bringing Karma Chatas, that's Mashem Delecha Paruhu. What's a Karma Chatas for? It's to make atonement. But since his intention is to do it deliberately, and he's going to go ahead and do this sin again, it just happens to be this time he did it by mistake and not deliberate, so why should we accept the karma chatzah from him? But he's not someone that is worthy, eligible for atonement if he would do it anyway again. Aval Oila the Darin who but a carbon oila which is not for atonement. It's just a gift to Hashem. Emel Kabin, I would say, accept it from him. Although he's a sinner, but he's coming to bring a gift. Atonement, he's not worthy because what atonement? You can do it again anyway. So therefore, you have to say by oila. And Vyashmin oila had we only had the pasuk by the oila that he's excluded. Mishum de lav chiyuvahu. Because the oila is something that's not obligatory. And therefore, it's not appropriate really to accept a gift from a renegade Jew, like the pasuk says in Mishlei Chaf Aleph, Zevech Rosham Te'eva. The sacrifice of a wicked person is an abomination. And therefore, maybe there we wouldn't accept it from him. Aval Chatas, the Chiyubuhu, but a Karma Chatas, which is an obligation, and it's incumbent upon anyone that sins by mistake to bring a Karma Chatas, Emel Kablamine, actually would say that you would accept it from the Mumer so that a sinner shouldn't gain by he sinning and not having to bring a Karma. Therefore, we have to say that even by chatas, so to oil and chatas, we exclude a mumma from being a carbon. Now, the Gemara asks another question on the Braisa. The Braisa had said that how do we know that makabel carbon is from Peshi Yisrael, which we said means mumma ledavar echad? We know from the word behema, even if he acts like a behema. Now, ask the Gemara v'chol hechad eksim behema, wherever it says the word behema, greyasihi, it's something that's derogatory, which you had explained that we're referring to the Peshim, the sinners, with the word behema. But for Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Adam u'behema toshia, you help animal and person Hashem. And Vamar Vidim Rav explained, what's this referring to? It's not referring to an animal and to a person. It's referring to Eilu b'nei Adam. It's referring to these people, Sheina Rumen Badas, that they're very crafty with their intelligence, like Adam Arishan, like the first man. That's what it means when it refers to Adam. They're just like the level of Adam. U'mestimen atzma kebehema. Yet they place themselves lowly of spirit, like an animal. So you see, but here the behemoth is actually an honorific, and not a grace, and not a derogatory term. It says the Gemara, no, hasam ksiv adam u'behemoth. There it says them together. Man and animal. When you put together the spirit and the body, the spiritual and the physical, that together, then it could be referring to something great. Hacha behemoth l'chud ksiv. But here it says the terminology behemoth by itself. Men a behemoth, there, just behemoth by itself, is a grayus, is something derogatory, and therefore a reference to the Peshi Yisrael. And that is the Gemara v'cholecha, the chesiv adam u'behema mal yusi. Is it really so? Wherever it says animal and man together, it's something that's positive. But v'chesiv, there's a passage in Yirmiyah that says, v'zerate es Yisrael. Hashem says that I have planted and spread out the Jewish people, zera adam u'zera behema, man seed and animal seed. Which the Gemara in Seif Tav Chavbez and Alva explains that, what does it mean, Zera Behema, animal seed? It's referring to individuals that didn't learn Chumash, didn't learn Mishnayis, didn't serve Tamita Chachamim. On them, the Pasuk says, V'zirati Espes Yisrael, Zera Adam, Zera Behema, meaning it's referring to Zera Adam, referring to the sages. And Zera Behema is referring to the Burim, the boars, who don't know anything, that Hashem is planting them all, and they're all going to be fruitful and multiply. But one thing you see, that Zera Behema is a grayus in there, even though it mentioned it together with Zera Adam. Says the Gemara, no, Hasam Hachal Kekra. Still, the pasuk is differentiating Zera Adam Luchud, Bezera Behema Luchud. It's mentioning separately the word Zera individually for the man and that of the animal, and therefore they're separate, and therefore it's a Greyasa. But it mentions together, Adam Ubehema, together, that's when it's Mayusa, and therefore that's how we know. But when it's mentioned separately, like in the pasuk Mina Behema, it's referring to the Peshi Yisrael, to those who act lowly like animals. Now, the Gemara had mentioned before, which we had discussed in the previous daf, regarding to one of the interpretations of our Mishnah, Hakol Sheichnim V'Shechtasing Sheira, that all slaughter and the slaughtering is kosher, the interpretation of Abaye and Rav, who they said that refers to that of a Kuti, which we said sometimes it's a Ketchila, sometimes a B'diyevit. So the Gemara comes back to that topic regarding the slaughtering of a Kuti. The Gemara brings Simon Niklaf, the mnemonic for the following teaching, is Niklaf, which the literally means to say like peeled, but it's referring to the names of the tradition. Amr B'chanan, there's a Nun over there. Amr B'yakar B'idi, which is a Kuf over there. Amr B'shu Ben Levi, there's a Lamed over there. B'shum Bar Kapara, there's a Fei over there. That they said the following halacha. Rabbi Gamliel, who he's the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who is from the later generations. Not there was an earlier Gamliel and later, that him, Ubeis Dine, and his court, Nimnu Ashchitas Kuti, they counted on their decision in their court regarding the slaughtering of a kuti, meaning after the redaction of the Mishnah, which we had said, Hakol Sheichten, which we had interpreted means to say even a kuti could go ahead and slaughter. At a later point in time, Ramlil and his court had decided that regarding the slaughtering of a kuti, that basrua, they made it forbidden for that slaughter. Now, Amli Reb Zeira, Reb Yaakov Eidi, Reb Zeira said, Reb Yaakov Eidi, who this teaching was said over in his name from Chanan, he said, Shemaloi Shama Rabbi, maybe my teacher didn't hear this. Elabisha Ein Yisrael Emir Al Gabav. Maybe when did you hear that the Shechita B'Kuti is Aser? Only when a Jew wasn't standing over him the whole time, which is the same thing as we learned in our Mishnah, which we said, it's not going to be valid unless he eats from it, and we go through the whole procedure, but the way that it's kosher is only if a Jew's standing over him. Maybe when you heard that it's not good is when the Jew's not standing over him, and that would be exactly like the halacha of our Mishnah. On that, Rabbi Yaakov Yidi said, Dami Haim Rabbanan, it seems to me this one of these rabbis, meaning to Reb Zeru who's asking this question, Kedilagami Inchi Shmaita, like someone who never learned a halachic teaching before. B'she'en Yisrael Oymer Al Gabav Lemem Rabbi, do you think it has to be said and be told and that this is the teaching of Rimlila in this court when the Jew's not standing over him? What do you think? It's not obvious to us that they're not careful with the halacha of Lifnei Iver L'Seidin Michshul when it comes to making someone else sin? Of course that's not valid. If Rimlila Beis Dina was saying that's us, there must be Tuman even when the Yisrael is Oymer Al Gabav. So that is the question, the Gemara, Kibbalaminei, did Reb Zeru receive this response from Reb Yaakov and accepted that Reb Galila in this court was saying that even when Yisrael Imel Gabav, or Yisrael was watching the Shechita B'Kudi the whole time, that it's forbidden? Or maybe he didn't accept it from him, and still he held that maybe Galila is just like the Halacha of Mishnah, that it's only not kosher when Yisrael is not Imel Gabav, when Yisrael is Imel Gabav, that it's going to be kosher. So this Gemara Tashma, come in here, let's bring a Raya. Because the Amram Nachman Yitzchak Amr Basi, he said, "Ani reisis Rabbi Yechanan." He says, "I saw Rabbi Yechanan sha'achal mishchitas kuti, that he ate from what a kuti had slaughtered, either because there was a Jew standing over the kuti the whole time, or because they had cut a piece of meat from the meat and given that to the kuti himself." And v'af Rabbi Basi achal mishchitas kuti. Ibn Rabbi Basi, I saw, ate from the slaughtering of what a kuti had done. Now, v'toyi bar Reb Zeira. Now, Reb Zeira, when he heard this testimony, he had wondered that how could it be that they ate from Shechitas Kuti? And he wondered in his heart, and he said, Leish Milhu, didn't they hear about what had been decided in earlier generations that Rabbi Gamliel and his court had decided? That didn't they hear that it's forbidden the Shechita B'Kuti? Because the Yavish Milhu, had they heard, have Makabala, because then they would have accepted this. And must be that they never heard this halacha that was said over in the Rabbi Gamliel. Oydim said to himself, maybe Shmilu, maybe they heard this teaching of Rimliel. But they didn't accept it. So Hadar Pasha, then later on, Reb Zeri went and resolved it, Lenafshi, to himself. And he said, you know what, Mistab, it's logical, the Shmilu v'lekiblua. Must be that they heard this teaching, but they didn't accept it. Why? Because if you're going to think to say, because they hadn't heard about it, but we have a Shmilu who have a Makabla, but had they heard about it, they would have accepted and they would never have eaten from Shechita B'Kuti because it's already forbidden. How could it have been successful? L'mechli Sura, that an act of the Satan, the prosecuting angel, could cause or the righteous people through some error of some sorts that they should eat something forbidden? How could that be? Hashtu behem neshal tzaddikim, if we find regarding the animals of the righteous people, which is going to bring later on, regarding the donkey of Rebekah's Ben Yar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takal al yad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring a stumbling block on them, that the animal should eat something forbidden for it. So tzaddikim atzma lekoshken, the righteous people themselves, isn't all the more so, and therefore it can't be, said Rebbe Sefer to himself, that it was, that they would have accepted had they known, because then it would have been something but they had done by mistake, forbidden. Must be they heard about it, but they actually disagreed, and they held that it's not forbidden. And that continues the Gemara on top of Med Aleph to prove that if Reb Zeira accepted from Yaakov Yidi or not. Because if Esau could have the Kibbalimine, if you're entertained to say that Reb Zeira did not accept from Yaakov, he didn't accept it, Rimlil totally made it forbidden to Shechita B'Kuti from now on, no matter what the circumstance. If he didn't accept, then what was bothering him? Lishani Le, he should have answered to himself and says, oh, it's not a difficulty. Kan, here, when Rabbi Yechanan had eaten, is Kish Yisrael Oymer Al Gabav, because they had seen there was a Jew standing over the Kuti the whole time that he slaughtered. Kan, over here, when Leel said it's forbidden, is Kish Yisrael Oymer Al Gabav, is when the Jew's not standing over him. Well, no Jew standing over him, so then he's not particular about Lifnei Iver L'Seidin Michshul. But when Rabbi Yechanan ate, was because Yisrael was Oymer Al Gabav. Rather, obviously, is because Reb Zeira had accepted from Yaakov Yidi that no, this Reb Gamliel had made it forbidden was totally even the Yisrael's Oymer Al Gabav. Shema Menah, therefore, he couldn't have used that as a resolution for Reb Yechanan to say, okay, it's not a problem. He knows it and he's fulfilling it. Reb Gamliel is when there's no Yisrael Al Gabav, and Reb Yechanan was Yisrael Al Gabav. He couldn't say that because Reb Gamliel was saying, like Reb Yaakov Yidi had told him, even when Yisrael Al Gabav. But rather, he had resolved himself. Okay, must be that they knew about this, but they disagreed and they didn't accept it. And therefore, they ate from the Shechitas of Kuti. But it can't be that they resolved it because Rabbi Gamliel had made it forbidden in all situations.